videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupobaugan.com. Máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan.
Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, our third half hour. 8:30 in the morning. Are you ready? Are you ready to continue? I won't talk about baseball today. In this half hour, she feels optimistic about the prospects. Volviendo a prospects, las perspectivas de futuro. The prospects. Prospect has other meanings. Prospecting. Prospecting is la prospección de mercados. But in marketing, you have prospecting. A prospect is used as a cliente en potencia. Potential customers or clients, clientes potenciales, those are prospects. And prospecting is how to locate prospective clients. You do prospecting. You perform prospecting. That's part of the marketing effort in a company, in many companies, not all. Prospect. And prospecting is also looking for gold. A prospector looking for gold. I feel like staying home today. Yeah. I feel like staying home. Yes. What do you feel like doing today? What do I feel? Well, to tell you the truth, I feel like going back to bed. I feel like going back to bed and sleeping for about 3 hours. But I slept fine last night, so no problem. I feel okay. I feel okay. But what do I really feel like doing right now? I think I feel like going downstairs and reading Immanuel Kant, The Critique of Pure Reason. That's what I feel like doing. Nah. Going to bed, playing the guitar. I feel like playing the guitar a little bit. It's interesting that my guitar is next to the piano on a guitar stand. And it's very attractive. When I pass by, I always sit down and play it a little bit. You know, it's just, the piano is attractive too, but the guitar attracts me more. Because you can pick it up and hold it in your arms. And start to caress it, you say. Playing a guitar, classical, not electric, but playing a classical guitar, if you know how to play it, well, then it's not erotic, but it's a bit like a, you know, because you hold it in your arms, and it responds to your touch, and you play it. So, with both hands as well. One hand on the frets and the other on the strings. And you make music from the guitar. So I'll sit down and play the guitar for 3 minutes and then put it back in its stand and go do whatever I was planning to do. Also, if I have to wait, if I'm leaving home and I have to wait for another person, you know, for 3 minutes while that person is getting ready, well, I'll sit down and play the guitar. Waiting. In any case, prospects, I feel like staying at home. To stay at home or to stay home? Both are correct. Yes. The other day I received an email from a listener who asked me which was correct. To be home or to be at home? Para estar en casa. And I answered her that both are correct. But different. They don't mean the same thing. Si estás en casa, you are at home. Now, when you arrive, for example, you return, you go home from work, open the door and walk in, and you shout, "Darling, I'm home." So I'm home means ya estoy en casa. Sí. Ya he llegado, estoy aquí. Y una vez que digas, I'm home, and you take off your shoes and put on your slippers, tus alpargatas, and you're at home, okay? You're at home, con batini, zapatillas, o alpargatas. You're at home. But the moment you get home, you say, darling, I'm home. All right, but don't worry about the difference, eh? You can say both. No, if I call you, and I say, hey, Juan, ¿dónde estás? Estoy en casa. You say, I'm home. No, I'm at home. I'm at home. I'm at home. I feel afraid when I enter a hospital. I feel afraid when I enter a hospital. How do you feel when you enter a hospital? I feel afraid. Which is not true. I don't feel anything when I enter a hospital. Ni fu ni fa, as you say. No feeling, just it's another place. When I walk into, enter is correct, pero probablemente, a native person would probably say, I feel afraid when I walk into a hospital. Porque se entiende que uno entra andando. Entonces vamos directamente, automáticamente, solemos ir al verbo de locomoción que corresponde. I feel afraid when I walk into a hospital. When I walk into a hospital. Which is not true. Although I had a student, Siguero. He was the maintenance manager in a very big factory. Now, the people who work in maintenance are tough guys. I mean, they're tough. Mantenimiento y ingeniería de planta. Yes. And so he was made of tough stuff. But he couldn't walk into hospitals. He fainted. To faint. To faint is desmayarse. He said the smell, something about the smell of the hospital, and he started to feel lightheaded, and lipotemia. He fainted, and he said one time he and his wife went to visit a relative, un pariente. He and his wife went to visit a relative in one of the Madrid hospitals, and he managed to make it to the room, to the hospital room, without fainting. And he sat down in a chair, an armchair, the only armchair in the hospital room, while his wife was talking to the relative. He was sitting in the chair. And the nurse came in to the room, and she gave the patient an injection. And when he saw the syringe, la jeringuilla, when he saw the syringe and the needle, he fainted. So they had to wake him up with smelling salts. I don't know how to say smelling salts, but you pass under a person's nose and they wake up. So he said he didn't visit hospitals. Siguero, my God, he was my student. In 1977, 78, and 79. That's a long, long time ago. Really long time ago. And he was big, strong, very handsome, very good-looking guy. A very typical technical engineer guy. And he's a good guy. And I remember that when I started Vaughn Radio in late 2003... I think in around 2005, I received a telephone call from the receptionist in my company, and she said, there's a couple here to see you. Okay. And so I didn't, and said, who are they? Well, it's a surprise. And this was in 2005, I think. So this was 25 years after I had the last time I saw Domingos. I saw Siguero. And so I had two ways of going. I had two routes to reach the reception area. The direct route, in which I couldn't see them until I was in front of them, and an indirect route where I could see the person, the people sitting in reception waiting. And so I used the indirect route to check, and I saw a person, and I immediately recognized him and his wife. I didn't recognize his wife, but I looked at her because I remembered the things when he talked about his wife. And he always talked very well about his wife. And so I approached him and I said, "Domingo, ¿cómo estás?" He was surprised. He said, "You remember my name?" And everybody said, "Of course." We spent 3 years, you know, almost every day with English. And so he's a good guy, Domingo Siguero. Yeah, and you know his name. I don't know if he's still alive. I have no idea. But that was in 2005, so that was only 15 years ago. Or 16 years ago, depending on the time of the year, because we're in March now. But it's interesting, and other people from those years came to see me when I became famous from radio. Ochoa, Siguero, Diaz de Meda, all of these names, Moran, they came. And some of them came to the book fair, La Feria Libro, because they knew that Vaughn Systems had a stand in the book fair. And so they came and looked at me and said, "Hello, Richard. Do you remember me?" And I looked, and I looked, and I said, "Anda, Rivero." I said, "Yes." Okay, Rivero was very easy. I ran into Rivero in the Corte Inglés, in the book section. I was in the book section, and that was only about 10 years ago. I was in the book section, and Rivero recognized me. And these were students from 1978, 1979. He recognized me and came up to me. He said, "Profe." And I recognized him. And it was Rivero. So a lot of these old, these people have come out of the woodwork, you know, to look me up and things. But I remembered every single one. I even remembered their both their names, you know. Jesús Villagra Bermejo, Tolo. Why? Because I remember in those years working with the attendance sheets and all of the, everything involved in the administration required the full name. Yes. I remember one student whose name was Luis del Amo. And I wrote it, Luis del Amo. And he said, "No, no, no. It's Luis del Amo." So his surname was De Lamo. And I had written it, Del Amo. Natural, Luis del Amo. Luis del Amo. You can, there's a slight difference in pronunciation, but I couldn't hear it. But in any case, let's go on. So I feel like staying at home today. What do you feel like doing? I feel afraid when I walk into a hospital. How do you feel when you walk into a hospital? The battle was fought 9 miles east of Paris. The battle was fought. En español diríais, la batalla se libró, ¿no? Curiosa expresión, librarse. Librarse es liberarse también, ¿eh? It's funny. The battle was fought. Se fue luchada, la batalla. We say in English, to fight. The battle was fought 9 miles east of Paris. Question, where was the battle fought? Passive voice. Where was the battle fought? It was fought 9 miles east of Paris. Not 9 miles north of Paris, nor west of Paris, nor south of Paris. It was fought 9 miles east of Paris. Which I is not necessarily true. I don't know what battle this sentence is referring to. The Battle of the Marne. In the First World War, well, I think the closest, I think the Germans were about 25 kilometers from Paris. They were pretty close. And the Paris taxi drivers, this is in 1914 or 1915, in the early years of the First World War, the first or second year. And the Paris taxi drivers were taking soldiers out to the front to fight the Germans. What a useless, stupid war, the First World War. The Second World War, was more necessary because of the rise of fascism and national socialism and the imperialism of Japan and things. It was more necessary. But I don't think the Second World War would have taken place without Adolf Hitler. If Adolf Hitler had died of pneumonia at the age of 20, I don't think the Second World War would have taken place. I think it's all attributable to one single person. Different types of conflicts or tension would have prevailed in Europe. And maybe small localized conflicts, the Italians in Libya or in Ethiopia, the Russians, the Soviets, maybe in the Baltic republics or Poland, localized. But I think if Adolf Hitler had been killed in the First World War, he was wounded. Fue herido. Adolf Hitler was wounded in the First World War. If he had been killed, then I honestly think the Second World War never would have taken place. And Japan would have probably managed to gain greater control in the Far East. And the United States would not have reacted to contain Japan as much. It's an interesting, but this is revisionist history, going back and speculating on what would have happened if something else hadn't happened. Especulando sobre lo que habría ocurrido si otra cosa no hubiera ocurrido. Habría, hubiera. So, it's going back and speculating on what would have happened if something else hadn't happened or had happened. If Adolf Hitler had died in the trenches in the First World War, the Second World War wouldn't have taken place. All right. We're fighting for our rights. Really? Excuse me, what are you fighting for? Our rights. What are you fighting for? We're fighting for our rights. What rights? Well, the right to freedom of expression, freedom of speech, the right of freedom to do whatever we want. Oh, yeah, I agree too. What about your obligations? Are you fighting for your obligations? Obligations, no. We're not interested in obligations. We're only interested in our rights. Okay, well, good luck. I hope you win all your rights. But don't forget your obligations. I found it in the kitchen. Where did you find it? I found it in the kitchen. In the kitchen? What was my guitar doing in the kitchen? En ambos idiomas se da vida a un objeto en este caso. ¿Qué hacía mi guitarra en la cocina? Una guitarra no puede hacer nada. Pero si está en un sitio, se dice, ¿qué hacía? ¿O qué hace? ¿Qué hace mi guitarra aquí? What was my guitar doing in the kitchen? Where did you find it? I found it in the kitchen, on the kitchen counter. I didn't put it there. Did you put it there? No. Don't look at me. I mean, I'm not interested in your guitar. I didn't put it there. Well, somebody must have put it there. Escucha, somebody must have put it, musta. In buen inglés, somebody must have put it, debí haberlo puesto ahí, tenía que haberlo puesto ahí. Somebody must have put it there. A native says, must have. Somebody must have put it there. I mean, my guitar doesn't have legs. My guitar cannot move on its own initiative. If my guitar was in the kitchen, then somebody put it there, clearly. Who? Don't look at me, it's not my fault. I didn't touch your guitar. I've never touched your guitar. My God, you're so sensitive about this. Well, sensitive, no. I mean, just, my guitar's in the kitchen. Tell me why. I don't know. Well, you're the only person. You've been in this house for 24 hours alone. I mean, was my guitar in the kitchen last night when you went to bed? No. Then why is it in the kitchen now? I don't know. Somebody must have put it there. But you're the only person who's been in the house. Yeah, but, well, somebody came in the middle of the night and moved your guitar. Maybe you walk in your sleep. Maybe you came home last night walking in your sleep. And you came into the house, took the guitar, and put it in the kitchen, and then left. Are you insinuating that I'm a sleepwalker? Si no es que soy somnambulo, a sleepwalker. Well, otherwise I can't figure it out. I can't explain why the guitar ended up in the kitchen. Okay, all right. In any case, well, it seems to be okay. Let's see. Ring. It's in tune. So, yeah. All right, fine. I'll take it back to the piano and put it in the guitar stand. All right. You found it in the kitchen. Okay. The boy was found near the supermarket. The boy was found near the supermarket. Where was the boy found? All right. He was lost. The boy was lost. Richard, have you ever been lost? Yeah, once. As far as I can remember, once. I was probably 4 years old or 3 years old. And it was in Wieners. I remember the name of the store. It was a big store. I mean, really, really big. Of course, when I was 3 years old, everything was really, really big. It was a big store. And Wieners. W-E-I-N-E-R-S. That's a Jewish name. In the United States, the Jews have not a monopoly, but a lot of the shops and stores and markets and things are run by Jews. And this is a general store, similar to Walmart. And this was probably in 1955, when I was three. And I got lost. And my mother took me, and probably I wandered off. To wander is vagar. I probably wandered off. Me alejé vagando por la tienda. I probably wandered off because I was probably a difficult child to control. And my mother probably couldn't find me. And I couldn't find my mother. And I think I probably started crying because I couldn't find my mother. and I don't remember that part. I remember the next part. Somebody noticed me and says, "What's the matter, little boy?" I said, "My mother, I can't find my mother." And the person took me to the central desk, the Información Central, una cabina. And a man there, I remember, a man, this part I remember. A man asked me, "What's your name?" "My name is Ricky." And so he took a microphone, the big type, like the type of microphone I have on my television show. I remember that. What you call, I think, you call that kind of microphone una alcachofa, I think. And he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have a little boy here looking for his mother. His name is Ricky, and Ricky can't find his mother. If you're Ricky's mother and you hear this, please come to the central desk." My mother showed up maybe a minute later. She was probably looking for me all over the store. It was a big store, but it was only one floor. It wasn't two floors or three. It was only one big floor. And so I remember that. I was probably three, maybe four. But by the time I was four, I think I was more aware of things and could solve things on my own. But not when I was three. So it was shortly after we returned from New York City. But in any case, yes. But in this case, the boy was found near the supermarket. Where was the boy found? Where was the boy found? He was found. Fue encontrado. He was found near the supermarket. How does he find his customers? How does he find his customers? ¿Cómo encuentra sus clientes? Yeah. How does he find his customers? He finds his customers through advertising. Oh, through advertising. And how does he advertise? He advertises in the local newspapers, on local radio stations, and local television stations. Okay. Yes. And the slogan is, if you didn't buy at Reeves, you paid too much. Si no has comprado en Reeves, es un sitio que se llama Reeves, has pagado demasiado. Which means Reeves has the lowest prices. And the slogan is, if you didn't buy in Reeves, you paid too much. However, in the slogan on the store, they spelled two with only one O. So it was a spelling mistake. You paid too much. And with that interesting piece of information, I'll be right back.
Por fin puedes disparar tu carrera profesional sin salir de casa. Máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan. Ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com.
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza. Cleopatra y Marco Antonio. Adán y Eva. Romeo y Julieta. Vaughan y Disney.
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate.
Young people in Spain speak and understand English better today than 20 years ago. However, their level is still insufficient for effective communication in the professional world. If you're a young person, and if you want to progress in your profession rapidly and decisively, stop everything and focus now 100% on English. Get the problem 100% out of the way now. Don't postpone it.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher. How are you doing?
¿Quieres que un profesor Vaughan llame a tus trabajadores? Con horarios flexibles y la posibilidad de cancelar o reservar cualquier sesión dentro de la misma semana. Elige el tema de conversación que tú quieras. Una conversación telefónica con un angloparlante con el ingrediente clave del método Vaughan para empresas. Consulta condiciones en el 91-133-5831. 91-133-5831.
Are you ready to start the class?
Hey, have you heard about our trimestrales? No? Well, let me tell you all about them. The program lasts 3 months. Eso es, dura tres meses. Many different timetables to choose from. From Monday to Friday, Saturdays in the morning. And you'll have plenty of homework. And your teacher will correct your homework and check it to make sure you're making progress. Find out more now. Our trimestrales at Vaughan. Small groups, only 4 to 6 students per class. And the class is focused on speaking and using the language. Contact us and find out about trimestrales with one of our dynamic Vaughan teachers. You won't regret it. No te arrepentirás. More information at GrupoVaughan.com.
Mucha gente nos pregunta si es posible que un método online para aprender inglés funcione de verdad. Hoy en nuestro especial Vaughan Key Points hablamos de este tema con nuestro profesor y director de innovación, Richard Brown.
La clave de nuestro método online es la motivación. Hemos diseñado un curso que realmente engancha en cada nivel, te motiva y reta para que avances de nivel. Pero la verdadera clave son los profesores Vaughan. Su método de enseñanza es lo que realmente nos diferencia. Los cursos online Vaughan cuentan con los mismos profesores apasionados que desde hace más de 40 años nos han hecho diferentes. Descubre las ventajas de nuestro método online probándolo. Así que os invito a entrar en grupovaughan.com y poneros a prueba.
Lo que más miedo le da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso, Vaughan ha desarrollado sus clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%.
Infórmate en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid 91-133-5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, last half hour for today. And today is Friday, March 5th. Yes, sir. The last day of the working week. So this is my last half hour, but I have the extra hour later this evening. So I still have to continue working. Yes, sir, I can't take off for the weekend, say, hey, I'm going to Cantabria, or I'm going to go to Lisbon, or to Oporto. I've never been to Oporto. I need to go. I've been relatively near, but I've never been to Oporto. All right, let's get going. Yes, you can find bargains in the Rostro. Excuse me, where can I find bargains? ¿Dónde puedo encontrar gangas para comprar cosas? You can find bargains. Se escribe bargain. However you pronounce it. Bargain. Bargain. Como una barra, un bar. Y una arma de fuego, gun. Bargain. Plural bargains. You can find bargains in the Rostro. You can find bargains in the Rostro. Yes, where can I? Where can I? Can I? Can I? Can I? Can I? Where can I? Where can I? Where can I? You know, if you say, where can I, 20 times today, it takes you 1 minute, and you're much better with English. In that, where can I? Where can I go? Where can I find? Where can I contact? Where can I do? Where can I find? Where can I find bargains in Madrid? You can find bargains in Madrid in the Rostro, especially on Sunday mornings. However, I've never been to the Rostro, I think once I went to the Rostro on a Sunday morning. It's famous. I mean, it's a tourist attraction. I've been to the Rostro a couple of times during the week or on a Saturday. Which, they're basically shops. There isn't much. But there are just too many people. I avoid conglomerations. And I never look for bargains. Never. When I go to Morocco, you know, to the markets in Marrakesh or in Fez or in, where, in Tangier. I don't care. I'm not going to buy. I don't go to buy anything. A lot of people go to buy or in Istanbul, in the famous market there, whose name I can't remember. A lot of people go in there looking everywhere, looking for a bargain, something they like that's cheap. I just don't care. I guess I'm not a materialist in a sense that I want to accumulate things. It just doesn't matter to me. I would pay triple just to avoid it. To buy something, say, okay, we bought something. Yes, but you didn't. You didn't bargain with the... Bargain también es regatear, como verbo. To buy a bargain is una ganga, un precio, un chollo. Wow, it's a real bargain. But to bargain is regatear, negociar. And so I just don't care. I'm not interested at all. But I think I'm in the minority. So I'm the strange one, eh? No. And so I'm not criticizing people who like to do it, because those people are in the majority, and I think I'm in the minority. But you can find bargains in the Rostro, maybe. I really don't know. Where can I find bargains? You can find bargains in the Rostro. Peter found the report. Excuse me? Who found the report? Who found the report, finally? Peter did. Peter found the report. Wow. Where did he find it? He found it in one of the bathroom stalls. Really? What was the report doing in one of the bathroom stalls? Well, apparently somebody had a copy of the report, or somebody had the report, the original, and decided to read it in the bathroom. Maybe placed it on the floor for a moment and then got up and forgot. And finally, the cleaning lady. Peter didn't find it, really. The cleaning lady found it and asked Peter, says, excuse me, this was in the bathroom. And Peter looks at, oh my God, that's the famous report. We've been looking for it for 3 days. Yeah. You see, what happened was a person working in the company wrote the report on his computer, printed it, and made only one printing. And then something happened in his hard drive, and the computer support was gone, so we didn't have access. So the only access to the report was that one printed copy, because we didn't have support in the electronic support. So, and then somebody, Johnny gave it to somebody, and that somebody, whom we don't know, apparently went to the bathroom and that left it there. And the cleaning lady, 3 days later, found it behind the toilet. Said, what's this? And she showed it to Peter, and Peter freaked out. He said, I can't believe it. This is the famous report. We've been looking all over the place for it. Yes. Where did you find it, Rosie, the cleaning lady? Well, I found it behind the toilet in the bathroom. What was it doing there? I don't know. That's where I found it. So they found the report. Who found the report? Well, really, Peter didn't find it. Rosie, the cleaning lady, found it. All right. He flew to Paris last week. Last week, eh? When did he fly to Paris? You know, I think I'm wasting my time with these phonetic helps, because Spanish speakers can't emulate those sounds, ni de lejos. It's interesting, the expression, ni de lejos, because I think it sounds strange. I would say ni de cerca. I would say the opposite. You know, you say ni de lejos. Let me see if I can find it. Ni de lejos o ni de cerca. Which one is correct? In word reference forums, foros de word reference. Me ha surgido una duda a responder a otro hilo. La frase era, ninguna profesión es ni de cerca tan satisfactoria como la de músico de rock. Y yo he corregido diciendo que si no sería mejor ni de lejos. Son equivalentes las expresiones ni de lejos y ni de cerca. All right. Another person says, para mí tiene más sentido decir ni de lejos. ¿Mm? Otra cosa sería decir ni se le acerca. All right. Another person says, creo que el origen de ni de lejos se refiere a que vistas las cosas de lejos no se distinguen bien. No me convence esto. All right. You know, for me, ni de cerca is the right one. But I think near de lejos is the most common. Yes. So I really don't know. But ni de lejos. I think the Real Academia Lengua, they say, in absoluto, ni de lejos. Okay. Yes. But ni de cerca is perfectly understandable, I think. You see, Spanish is not my language, so I'm learning it. You know, but I base myself on what's logical, rational. It's funny. Not even close. But in any case, interesting, but that's a Spanish question. I'm not teaching Spanish, I'm teaching English. He flew to Paris last week. When did he fly? When did he fly to Paris? He flew to Paris last week. Flew. He flies to Paris twice a month. How often does he? Does he fly? 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 How often does he fly? You know, I repeat five times in a row these phonetic connectivity questions. Does he fly? Does he fly? Because if you want to speak English well, really well, you have to connect. When did he fly to Paris? He flew. How often does he fly to Paris? He flies to Paris twice a month. Twice a month. Wow, that's a lot. Why? Well, because the headquarters, he works in a company, a multinational, and the headquarters in Paris. But twice a month? Come on. Oh, yeah. He is in charge of logistics and materials supply. And so he needs to make sure that the critical parts and components are. Yeah, and you know what's, these parts and components are critical. And they're small. You can carry them in your pocket. I mean, this is not a big machine. This is small. And these parts and materials are so, so critical. And the final product is so expensive that they can't make a mistake. Because the component goes to NASA. Well, it goes to a factory that supplies NASA for the Mars lander, for the las sondas a Marte. And if there's a mistake, NASA can lose, I don't know, $60 million because of one mistake. So he flies to Paris, looks at the parts and components, puts them in his briefcase, and brings them back personally to Spain. Of course, it costs in all maybe 500 euros for him to fly to Paris, spend one night in Paris, and fly back to Madrid. 500 or 600 euros. But, you know, for twice a month. So that's maybe 1,200 euros a month. But he makes sure personally that the parts and pieces that he brings back to Madrid are perfect. And then they are assembled and sent to the United States for the final assembly. Montaje final. Final assembly. So you can say, okay, what a waste of money and the waste of time of a person. But in this case, effectiveness is more important than efficiency. Effectiveness es la eficacia. Que surta el efecto. Que surta el efecto deseado. Sea como sea, como sea. Cueste lo que cueste. It must be perfect. Efficiency is el buen uso de los recursos. Recursos, good use of resources. Now, flying to Paris twice a month is not the most efficient way to do these things, but it must be perfect. So, to save money and send the parts and components by train or by plane without the person most responsible inspecting them in situ before coming back. Okay, it's interesting. It's an interesting debate, but saving money is not the question. Successfully landing on Mars is the question. And if it ends up costing 20% more, but the landing is successful, and the operation of the Mars land rover is successful, and then the 20% over cost is irrelevant. What's relevant is the final outcome, el desenlace final. That's the only thing that counts, not how much you save. Hemos ahorrado un 30%, pero se ha estrellado a la entrada en la atmósfera. ¿No? Bueno, se ha explosionado. So, yeah. Why? There was a problem. So you have to make sure everything is perfect. And to make sure everything is perfect for a six-month trip to Mars and then entering the Mars atmosphere and landing with a parachute and activating the rover, you know, the vehicle, el pequeño vehículo, and taking pictures, well, that has to be perfect. And so looking for efficiencies is important, but it's not the priority. It's effectiveness. Eficacia. Que sea eficaz. Que surta el efecto. What you need. Efficiency is resource. The use of resources. All right. He flies to Paris twice a month. How often does he fly? How often does he fly to Paris? Me, I've flown to London twice this month. Really? Wow. Excuse me? How many times have you flown to London? I said I've flown to London. I've flown to London twice this month. Twice. Well, why? To visit some universities in and around London. I'm helping my daughter look for some universities. And so we flew to London 3 weeks ago, but we were only able to see two of the universities. So we flew back 2 weeks later, which was last week, and saw the other two universities. And have you decided? Yes, we've decided on one called Royal Holloway. Oh, very good. It's a very nice university. And it seems like it. It seems like it. Lo parece. Así parece. It seems like it. All right. Well, I hope everything works out. I hope everything works out. Espero que todo salga bien. I hope everything works out. We can work it out. Everything will work out fine. Don't worry. Everything will work out. I forgot it because I left home in a hurry. I was in a hurry. And because of I was in a hurry, I forgot to get it. And I left home without it. I forgot it because I left home in a hurry. Why did you forget it? Well, because I don't have a head sometimes. Why did I forget it? Why did I forget it? Why did I? Why did I? Why did I? Why did I forget it? I forgot it because I left home in a hurry. You know, I've forgotten it three times this month. Three times. Excuse me? How many times have you forgotten it this month? So far, I've forgotten it three times. Yeah, but what is it that you've forgotten? My brain. I left my brain at home. Yeah. Because to tell you the truth, in the company where I work, you don't really need your brain all the time. So, you know, it's not a big problem. If I accidentally leave my brain, me dejaba el cerebro en casa. Uf. I left my brain. This month I've left my brain at home three times. And you know what I realized? It's not really necessary. I was able to do fine, you know, on those 3 days in which I forgot my brain, you know. So it's no problem. You don't need a brain to work in some companies. Yes. So we got 4 Christmas cards yesterday. Really? Yeah. Can you believe it? We're in the month of March. And we got 4 Christmas cards yesterday. Really? Yeah. How many Christmas cards did you get? We got 4 Christmas cards. Yesterday. That's right. Yesterday was March 4th. I know. Why did you get 4 Christmas cards yesterday? I don't know. They arrived. But did you see the postmark? Yes, I looked at the postmark, el Matasellos. The postmark, o sea, marca postal. Postmark. Yes, I looked at the postmark, and all of them were postmarked around the 18th of December. In fact, 3 of them were postmarked on the 18th, and 1 was postmarked on the 19th. And you got them yesterday? Yeah, I got them yesterday. Yeah, though, that's... Así es correos hoy en día. I mean, if you're going to send a letter by snail mail... Excuse me, by what? Snail mail. What's that? Correo caracol. What do you mean? Snail, como clavo, nail con ese delante, snail, es caracol. Snail mail is correo normal, superficie, y correo aéreo. Because now we use email, electronic mail. And of course it's instantaneous. At the speed of light. Now, snail mail, of course, is very slow, but this is incredibly slow. So correos, the postal service, is having a few problems, apparently. And it has taken them, in the case of my Christmas cards, it has taken them, what, almost 4 months? 3.5 months to reach the destination. So yes, yesterday, Thursday, March 4th, I received 4 Christmas cards. I got 4 Christmas cards postmarked in middle December. So there we go. So if you're going to send any letters through the mail, you might want to send them earlier than usual. All right. I got married in 1977. When did you get married? When did you? 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 When did you get married? I got married at the end of 1977. Yes. He gets here at 8 o'clock every morning. Who? The boss. Well, 8 o'clock. Yeah, he gets here at 8 o'clock every morning. What time does he get here? What time does he get here? He gets here at 8 o'clock. I mean, you're new. This is your first day, no? No, tomorrow. Tomorrow's my first day. You mean you haven't started working here yet? No. Well, let me tell you. Tomorrow's your first day, right? Yes, that's right. Well, what time are you supposed to start? No, 8 o'clock. Well, then I would recommend you come... Or you get here at 7:50 or 7:55 and be at your desk. Really? Why? Because the boss gets here at 8 o'clock sharp every morning. What do you mean? 8 o'clock on the dot? Exactly. 8 o'clock sharp, he walks in. And the general office area, there are 200 people. And every single person stands up and clicks their heels. No, come on, no way. No, that's true. The moment the boss walks into the general office area on the way to his private office, because he needs to cross the entire general area, and every employee immediately stands up and clicks their heels like the German military. Clack, clack, jawohl, mi capitán. They click their, come on, I don't believe it. No, no, no. Have you ever seen the film in black and white of Adolf Hitler in Nuremberg in one of the big rallies, meetings, big, enormous, thousands of soldiers? And in the middle, there's a big corridor, and Hitler is walking in there with 2 lieutenants at either side, and they're walking slowly. The choreography of Joseph Goebbels was incredible. The choreography is incredible. When you watch the Nuremberg rallies, I don't know how many there were. I mean, we can find out. How many rallies were there in were there in Nuremberg? How many Nuremberg rallies were there? Six. The Nazi Party rally grounds covered 11 square kilometers. Well, yes, that's 3 kilometers. It's almost 3 by 4 kilometers in the southeast of Nuremberg, Germany. Six Nazi rallies were held there between 1933 and 1938. The photographs are incredible. Some of them are just incredible, of the Nuremberg rallies. I'm looking at one right now. What choreography, what organization? Para comer la coco al pueblo alemán. They just did it. My hat is off to these guys. My hat is, fíjate que lo que acabo de decir. My hat, mi sombrero está fuera. O sea, me quito el sombrero. Chapeau. Of course, they were bad people, but my hat is off to these guys on choreography, marketing, public relations, everything. I have to go, eh? Have a great Friday, okay? Thank you.
¿Quieres aprovechar el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resolver tu viejo problema con el inglés? Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupobaugan.com. Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan.
Remember to follow us on social media to get all the latest information on all our offers and special deals.
Campamentos de verano Vaughan, porque aprenden, disfrutan, conviven, juegan, experimentan, hacen amigos y asimilan el idioma de forma natural y pierden el miedo a hablar, abriéndose paso en este complicado mundo de la comunicación en inglés. Cada año más de 3.000